Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles. I am Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, joined by Jacob Unruh. This is the Oklahoman's Oklahoma State Football Podcast presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com to order online. We are joined right now, Jacob, no messing around. Let's jump right to it. It's Kansas State week. We're almost to game day. We are joined by a special guest, Kellis Robinette of the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star. 10 years on the K-State beat. You know these Wildcats well, don't you, Kellis?
I do. At least I thought I did, and then Chris Kleiman came in and changed right. Everything up, the whole system. It's felt like year one in a lot of ways.
You're right. I bet. Well, let's start there. What are some of the changes, not necessarily just on the field, but some of the changes that you've seen in the transition from a legendary coach like Bill Snyder to Chris Kleiman?
I would just say things are a lot more laid back, a lot more open. There's more access for us in the media. There's more access for fans. There's more access for people to see stuff on social media. You know, for the longest time under Bill Snyder, he acted basically in as much secrecy as he could. Any information that got out seemed pretty rare. And, you know, you can't really criticize him for it because he won a lot of games using that system. But a new coach came in and changed things up, and it's kind of felt like a whole new world.
I can imagine, because I never really interacted a lot with K-State directly for player access or any of those type of things. But I heard a lot of stories, about you know, what life was like for assistant coaches. And, you know, obviously Charlie Dickey is down here at Oklahoma State, and I think realizing what a different world he's in now and some of those things. So I can see where this could this new regime could be a very different world for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. What has Chris Kleiman been like to deal with sort of individually from your perspective?
He's been really straightforward. You know, I don't know the best way to describe it, but it's just kind of weird. You ask him a question and he'll give you a short answer, but it's packed with a lot of information. So the first couple of press conferences we had with him were actually kind of hard to keep up with, just because we were so used to not getting really any useful information at all, to all of a sudden just getting, you know, jam-packed with all this stuff in 10 minutes. It's just kind of funny how different things were in that regard. But he's just a really positive guy, down to earth, likes to work hard, likes to encourage his players, and I think that's one of the main reasons why they're off to a 3-0 start.
Is this maybe his openness the product of coming from some smaller programs, maybe, that kind of breed that to where you've got to be open?
Maybe a little bit. I think also just the people here at Kansas State have always kind of wanted to do this. And I mean, you guys know, when you go out and hire a new coach, a lot of times you look for opposites, and that was one of the things they wanted to change. Not only did they want to create more access for social media and become a player in that field, they wanted to let media come out and talk to players more often and let them share their stories. And I think, you know, he was open at North Dakota State. I don't know if they were quite this open there, but he's never had a problem sharing, you know, some access about his programs. And then when he came here, they thought they had an opportunity to do that even more, and went over some new fans, especially some who doubted him right when he initially got here. So it's been good for everybody, because I think most people, when they just watched him and saw him come in, just associated him with an FCS football program and probably looked down on that a little bit. But once they got to know him, they started to like him a lot more.
Yeah, you started hitting towards the fans. What do the fans say? How's the reaction been around him?
Well, I mean, it's been a 180. When he was first hired, it was kind of a meltdown. It was kind of funny. People were not happy at all. And word actually had gotten out. I think he was hired on a Monday or a Tuesday, and it was pretty clear the Saturday before that he was most likely going to be the guy. And when that, when that was made public, people weren't all that happy about it, and we're really honestly hoping they'd go in another direction, which I kind of thought was funny. The guy, you know, the guy went 69-6 in his last job. It shouldn't really be a surprise that he's winning in his new job. But I mean, it just, you know, they didn't really look too much into his past other than that he was coming from an FCS school. And I can understand there haven't been a whole lot of those coaches jump from that level to the Big 12 and win before. So there was some caution, but he, you know, won over some skeptics in the preseason. And then anybody else who was really doubting him, he pulled them over to the right side of the fence when they beat Mississippi State. I don't see too many people out there just saying they don't believe in him anymore.
What has kind of been the key to his transition to have the success as quickly as he has, bringing in his style, his schemes, his philosophy, and coaching with a bunch of guys who were not necessarily recruited to play for him?
Right. Well, I think the smartest thing he did was he basically, right when he got in, put his arm around Skylar Thompson and said, I don't care, you know, what mistakes you made in the past or what the old coaching staff said about you. You're my guy. And we're going to go as far as you can take us this year. And he's coached NFL quarterbacks like Carson Wentz and Easton Stick. And I think that meant a lot to Skylar and helped him buy in and convince a lot of other players on the team to buy in too. So there were guys like him. And then on the defensive end, guys like Wyatt Hubert, who hadn't played a whole lot in the past. I think he did the same thing with them and said, you guys maybe have underperformed in the past, but you're going to overperform with me. So let's go win some games. And he got them all on board, and then where they did have some holes, like a running back, he kind of improbably went out and got some grad transfers and some other freshmen to come in and help. I'm really astonished that they could go from losing the Big 12's leading rusher, his backup's backup, and their fourth-string guy, and totally replacing that unit, and now ranking seventh nationally in rushing offense. It's I mean, everything he's really touched so far has worked.
It seemed like there was quite a bit of movement, both in and out via the grad or the transfer portal. But it seemed like they really took advantage of what opportunities they had there, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sold on James Gilbert and Jordan Brown when they came in, just because they weren't starters at their last schools.
Right.
One came from Ball State, the other came from North Carolina. I didn't really see them coming in and being great running backs here, but he's found a way to combine them and into a nice committee, and they've also got Harry Trotter, who's a former walk-on at Louisville, who they brought in and gave a scholarship to, and he's been really productive there as well.
All right, Kellis, let's take a quick break here and come back, and we'll get into a little bit more of the specifics of this game. This is the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Kellis Robinette on the line, Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star beat writer for Kansas State football. Appreciate you joining us once again, Kellis. And let's get into this week's game. This what's actually going to happen on the field a little bit. Let's start with the Kansas State defense. I haven't had a chance to watch a ton. We watched a lot of that Mississippi State game as we were waiting for an Oklahoma State game to start. But is there are there some traits of this defense that you think could lend them to containing Oklahoma State's kind of dual threat mentality of Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard?
Well, we'll see. You know, as good as Kansas State's defense has looked through three games, and they rank ninth nationally in total defense, so you can't really knock anything they've done thus far. They haven't played a spread team yet. You know, Nichols and Bowling Green maybe would have liked to do it, but were just completely overmatched. And then Mississippi State basically was one really good running back, and then not much else. Their starting quarterback was hurt and threw a bunch of bad passes, and the backup came in and really hurt him more on the ground than through the air. So I'm very interested to see how Chris Klieman and Scotty Hazleton, the new defensive coordinator, handle their first Big 12 test. They say they've played a lot of spread teams in the past at the FCS level, and it's not going to sneak up on them. But at the same time, I'm not sure they've seen anybody as good as some of these Oklahoma State players. And they were kind of fortunate against Mississippi State. They had receivers open a lot in that game and just either dropped them or their quarterback couldn't hit them. And I feel like Sanders and Wallace are probably going to connect if you give them that opportunity. So, I obviously think Kansas State has the players and the mentality to succeed against Oklahoma State, but they haven't done it yet. So it's a very interesting game in that way.
In terms of guarding Tylan Wallace, we've seen different teams take some really unique approaches. Tulsa wanted to go man-to-man all day with him, and Oklahoma State tried to take advantage of that as much as they could, throwing deep to him, and it led to more pass interference penalties than completions almost. But Texas went with double coverage almost exclusively. So, what is kind of the typical scheme, and how do you think that Kansas State might adjust to a Biletnikoff type level of receiver out on one side?
Well, they've really liked using zone, or at least sprinkling in zone at times this season, and the reasoning is they just want to have as many guys looking at the quarterback and the ball as they can, and hopefully that gives them and their defensive backs a few more opportunities to make interceptions and come up with turnovers, and that has mostly worked for them. I would think they'd stick with that. I don't think you'll see anything like A.J. Parker or Walter Neal strictly manning up against Wallace. I don't think that's a great strategy. I think Wallace would win a lot of those. I think you'll probably see a good amount of cover two with safeties always coming over and helping against him. But at the same time, that they haven't had to gear their defense around stopping a single receiver yet. So I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do. If they do go that route, then it would leave somebody else open. I think they'll probably try a lot of different things and just hope that a mixture of zone and a little bit of man with some safety help can do the trick.
So we've brought up Chuba Hubbard, we brought up Tylan Wallace. How do you think they handle a dual threat quarterback like Spencer Sanders? Because you've got to double Tylan or something like that. You've got to watch out for Chuba on the ball. But how do they adjust to such a dual threat like Spencer? He's kind of proven on the big stage a little bit that he can run and pass.
Right, and yeah, that's another challenge. The coaches here all week have kind of just gushed over all three of those guys, and their defensive coaches yesterday were really talking up Sanders just because they thought he was the fastest quarterback they'd seen in a long, long time. It's a concern just because when Mississippi State switched from their starting quarterback, who was a bit more of a drop-back passer, to their backup quarterback, who was much more of a runner, that's where they had more success, and he was the guy who ended up getting flipped in the air like a helicopter trying to scramble for a first down against them. And they stopped him on that play, but at the same time, he still picked up like 14 yards there. So that's something else they're going to have to guard against. And especially like you guys mentioned, if Kansas State does go man, then that would be something very very interesting to look for, because when you go man against the scrambling quarterback, he can really hurt you.
That play with the Mississippi State quarterback, we were in the Tulsa press box watching that, and the press box was going nuts. That's one of the craziest plays we've seen in a while, because not only did he helicopter, like, he went higher in the air. He was like over people's heads. That was pretty ridiculous looking.
Yeah, and it was, seeing it live, it felt like time slowed down as he got hit. You could kind of tell as he was coming up, it was very unlikely he was going to make it, so he had to try something. And I was just kind of thinking in my head, like, oh, he's not going to try to hurdle these guys, is he? And, yeah, he sure did. the jump. And I had somebody suggested to me he was more than 10 feet off the ground at his highest. That's crazy. I'd never seen anything like that.
It was wild, that's for sure. All right, before we move to the Kansas State offense, give us a name to know, somebody to watch this week that might be in a kind of critical position, or maybe a guy who can make some plays and be an impactful player on the Kansas State defense.
Offensively, I'd say Malik Knowles. He's probably their number one receiver. Dalton Schoen is kind of more their reliable guy who they actually connected with for a game-winning touchdown last week. But Knowles is their big play guy. When their offense has been at their best, they've been going deep to him, and he had a kickoff return against Mississippi State. So he's somebody I would keep an eye on offense. On defense, you know, I'd maybe say I'd probably say Wyatt Hubert just at defensive end because he's the guy that everybody thinks is probably the best player on the entire defensive unit. But he really hasn't gotten all that many chances to show it this year. He only played limited snaps in their first two games because they were up so big. And then he suffered a concussion and didn't get to play last week. So I think he's really going to be itching to get out there and get his first sack of the season. And, yeah, I'll be interested to see if he can actually do it.
You talked about Skylar Thompson and his relationship with Chris Klieman early on and how important that was. Skylar Thompson, a guy that that Oklahoma State fans hate deeply because of what he did 2 years ago in particular. I mean, he's 2-0 against the Cowboys overall, but 2 years ago when he was, I don't know, third or fourth string at that point and came into Stillwater. Yeah, came into Stillwater and won that game. That was a very frustrating moment for Cowboy fans, I know. But what development have you seen from him this year, and what do you see as a possible strength of his that could be valuable this week?
Well, I mean, the big thing is he's just a lot more confident. You can tell with the throws he makes and the way he carries himself in the huddle. He just seems like he knows what he's doing. And you know, his numbers aren't all that great this season. I don't have them right here in front of me, but, you know, if you compare him to, like, Sanders, he's got basically half the yardage and definitely doesn't look as good on paper, but he's also, I believe, he was, at least last week, the top graded quarterback in all of college football if you looked at Pro Football Focus. So he maybe doesn't have quite as many opportunities as some other quarterbacks just because Kansas State is so run-heavy right now, but when he does throw the ball, it's usually on the money. He hasn't turned it over a single time all year. So when they do put it in the air, it's more likely than not it's going to be a completion. And, you know, this is a game that he hasn't put up big numbers this year. Like I said, really his best statistical game ever is still that one he played in Stillwater where Byron Pringle was running wide open. And
yep.
He had almost 300 yards of total offense. He hasn't really put up, you know, a real breakout game since then. He's, you know, he's had games that he's been really good, but nothing that jumped off the stat sheet at you. So this is one where I'm wondering if maybe he could have another big game here just because he has had success against Oklahoma State and he has won in Stillwater. I think he'll probably be more confident than ever going down there.
You know, saying that he's the guy that's been his best game so far, I'm sure makes Oklahoma State fans feel really, really good about themselves right now, too. It's like, oh, great. The one time. Switching gears a little bit on the offense, this veteran offensive line, Mike Gundy this week has kind of been gushing about this offensive line, all seniors and kind of the leadership they bring. What have you seen from that unit?
I mean, they've been good. They've clearly paved the way for a lot of rushing yards with running backs who came in without, you know, much fanfare. So you could really credit them as much as the running backs for the yards they put on the ground. And I think it's a little bit of a testament to Charlie Dickey that he was able to recruit and develop a lot of these guys. And, you know, now that he's at Oklahoma State, they brought in Connor Riley to coach this unit, and he's maybe taken them to another level in some ways. They're a lot more physical as run blockers, I think. I think they've actually improved in that area this season. They've just got a lot of new tweaks and methods that they use, and it's always good to have five seniors up there. They actually do mix in some younger guys now and then. They like to kind of unconventionally like to get in 8 or 9 offensive linemen every game, but it's worked so far and can't really argue with the results.
You touched on what the running backs have done a little bit. Is there a guy in particular that you think is sort of becoming their go-to guy at this point right now?
Well, James Gilbert is their number one guy. every fourth quarter, he's the running back they lean on. So I think that will probably stay the same here. He eclipsed 100 yards in the first two games and then had another couple good runs against Mississippi State. But at the same time, I'm curious to see if they try to get Jordan Brown a little bit more involved. He actually had really good numbers against Mississippi State, but only ended up touching it like seven times. So I bet when they went back and looked at that, they probably said, boy, I wish we got him a little bit more involved. And he actually can move out to the slot and do some things in the passing game that the other running backs can't. So I would definitely keep an eye on him in this game. Maybe they actually utilize him in that aspect a little bit more.
All right, Kellis. Well, now do you I hate putting you on the spot with a prediction. So do you actually make predictions? We have to do them down here. So I won't make you make one if you don't have to make one.
We do them here too. People right. love them.
Absolutely.
So we put them out there.
All right. So so can you share it with us at this point?
You know, I haven't figured out the exact score total here. I haven't figured out if it's going to be a really big shootout or not, but I think Kansas State wins by like 5 points. I think they win close.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how confident I am in that, just because the more I look at Oklahoma State, the more their offense impresses me. But just the way that Skylar Thompson and Kansas State have won the last two matchups, I'll just lean that way.
Makes sense. I'm sort of leaning toward the shootout method as well. I think that with Thompson being able to throw a little bit to keep things balanced, and you know, I've been impressed with what those running backs have done, so, and that offensive line as well. So I think that even though it might not be a traditional Big 12 spread it out and throw it around type offense, I think that this game could get into a fast paced, high scoring game. So we'll certainly see. Looking forward to a good one on Saturday in Stillwater. Kellis, we really appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday, man.
All right, looking forward to it.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks, Kellis.
All right, with that, we'll take a quick break and come right back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. It is mailbag time. Friday mailbag, always our favorite segment
mailbag.
Of the week. Mailbag. Always our favorite segment of the week. We appreciate all the fans who jumped in. Some fans with some interesting questions today that we'll get to. Of course, if you want to jump into the mailbag for next week's episode, you can always reach out on Twitter at ScottWrightOK. Email swright@oklahoman.com. One time, every question that's been submitted has been submitted on Twitter. One time, I want to have somebody email me a question.
You can email me, too. You can
exactly. junruh@oklahoman.com. Yep. One time, I would like to have somebody email a question for the Cowboy Chronicles podcast.
That'd be good.
That would be the highlight of the season for the Cowboy Chronicles.
My email right now is primarily Google alerts. So let's, you know, I'll take some emails.
Yeah, something to break up all the Google alerts. That's good. So getting into this week's stuff, we've got the first one coming from Justin, not the Justin that usually jumps in.
But a new
Justin.
Hi, Justin.
When will our coaching staff realize Jelani Woods is an actual weapon on this team? Why has it become a thing that when a play works in a football game, we don't, I don't know, see it again?
Wow.
Let's start with Jelani Woods.
That's a loaded question.
We've discussed Jelani multiple times on this podcast. I think everyone in this room is a huge fan of Jelani Woods and what he can do. We did finally see him catch a pass last week.
He had one callback on a penalty, right? That was a really impressive catch. Didn't he have that? Am I making that up in my head? Sorry.
I don't have stats in front of me.
He had a long catch at one point.
Yeah.
That I feel like was the Landon Wolf penalty, possibly.
Maybe so. Yeah, you're right. I think that was him.
Anyways, he looked athletic on that.
Right.
He was all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and they went to him on the fake field goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting him involved. I think as the season wears on, they're going to get him involved and make really good use of him. I mean, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You've got to get him involved.
I think a big part of it is there are some base plays where he's in the formation, but he's not necessarily the first read in those plays. And I don't think that that Spencer Sanders, you know, got far enough down his progressions to need to throw to him. Then there are some plays that we're going to continue to see, like we saw on Saturday against Texas, where he is option number one. And I think that's going to continue to become a thing. You know, he's not going to go out and catch six passes a game, probably not. But he's going to be more involved. They're going to find different ways to get the ball to him. I think the red zone could be a really good or short yardage could be a really good area for them to try to figure out how to get him involved there, because of his potential to be such a big weapon, a big mismatch. And obviously they had their struggles in the red zone and short yardage stuff last week, so that could be a change there. I think that as we go forward, we're going to see his looks, his targets just continue to increase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he kind of talked about that Tuesday, like, you know, he's happy to be involved. Was very happy to finally get his first catch and out of the way and stuff. But he kind of towed the company line for the most part on those other questions about his involvement.
And that's another thing about him, is that he is the ultimate team player. I mean, this is a guy that could have stayed at quarterback and tried to compete, could have jumped on the portal and gone somewhere else to try to play quarterback. He wanted to find a way to come to be involved, and tight end was that opportunity. So he's a guy that's improved greatly on his blocking, and is really making a difference on this team. He's a big part of the reason that they go to tight end so much, which was something that Sean Gleason has really sort of implemented on this team. That's probably the biggest fingerprint of his at this point, with Woods and Logan Carter in particular, Dayton Metcalf mixing in on occasion. And I think that's something you're going to continue to see, is those guys being heavily involved. And the reason they can do that is that they feel really comfortable with what those guys can do. The second part of that question, as far as when a play works, why don't we see it again? You know, I think that this playbook is designed so that everything leads to something else, and so you know, you don't necessarily. I think probably they go back to plays more often than people realize, and sometimes they don't work the second time around because people have seen them. So I think that. They are managing the playbook probably the way that they feel comfortable. Now, you can definitely criticize some of their decisions in the red zone and short yardage that we talked about, but you know, in general, I think that you know, everything they do has multiple prongs off of just about every play in their playbook, that they can go to something else that looks like it's going to be the other thing and turns out being something different. All right, moving on down the list here. We've got, I know it's in here somewhere. Twitter's slowing me down here. Twitter's slowing me down.
Uh-oh.
Great radio right now. This is fascinating for all of you. I know you're loving it. Yeah, we need some music at this point. There it is.
Hey.
Ellis wants to know, how bad are the other running backs?
Wow.
As I said, some interesting questions this week.
All right. I've set out to I don't know that I've tried to answer that question.
Right, but this week. a similar question you tried to answer.
Similar idea of what about the help for Chuba, you know, 37 carries a week after going 32. It's a lot, especially against Texas defense. It's physical like it was. You know, I think they haven't seen what they want to see from LD Brown in that backup spot yet. That's been pretty clear. He's not carried the ball very much, and you know, last week he carried it once for minus 4 yards at Texas, and they abandoned that play, that plan, and that was on the opening drive when he carried that. And you know, they realized Chuba was their best chance. I think, you know, as you see some guys maybe get healthy, you know, Dez Jackson is one that if he gets healthy, I think he could really kind of break that rotation.
He's finally not wearing that non-contact jersey. In practice anymore.
You know, Gundy said he's back practicing. And so maybe he's a guy who steps in. Jameel Jeter still has a chance, I think, to kind of step in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to redshirt Glass.
Yeah.
It just gets that feeling. You know, he played against McNeese State, and we haven't seen him since. He fumbled,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So I think there's, you know, I don't know that we're going to see him really, but it seems like that's kind of the direction they're going right now.
So the DeAndre Glass, true freshman, Heisman Trophy winner, pursuit is over.
He's got a long ways to go.
Yeah, it's gonna be. He's fallen behind some other horses.
Behind
the
own start. The OSU's own starter. I mean, that's troubling for his hopes.
It's all right. I like it. I like a guy with goals and predictions and not afraid to be bold. So I think DeAndre Glass has a good future. Just not this year.
Maybe he has an old NCAA football copy.
Mm-hmm.
And creates himself.
Yeah.
And then wins the Heisman
as a true freshman. Maybe so.
Post a screenshot of that if so.
Yeah, that'd be good. But that I think is the key, is those other guys getting. Jameel Jeter is the really puzzling one for me, mm-hmm, because he's been healthy for a while, it seems. Healthy enough to travel and some of those things. Maybe it's because they don't have anybody else. Is the reason that he's traveling, but he's a guy that I thought would be more involved by now than he has been. You know, he ended up with 11 carries in mop up duty against McNeese, and I thought that was kind of a sign of things, mm-hmm, to come. So, you know, Micah Cooper's back healthy again. We'll see what.
Oh, I completely left him out.
Right.
I don't know how I forget about him.
Your favorite guy.
I don't know, favorite walk on.
So we'll see what happens to turn things around there. And try to give Chuba a little bit of a breather when they can, because if they could at least get him some help early in games and then try to, you know, go heavy with him in the second half of a close ball game, or if they can try to get some blowouts and get him off the field one or the other. So it's going to be interesting, but you know, it's definitely a significant discussion going on in the offensive meeting room at Oklahoma State. So we'll see how it's used this week, in particular against a fairly physical defense. I think that's an interesting development to be seen on Saturday. Last thing before we wrap it up, prediction time. I put Kellis Robinette on the spot. He took Kansas State by 5. I don't remember exactly what I picked at the moment, but I've got a pretty good idea. I think Oklahoma State's going to win this one pretty easily. The Mississippi State win was big for Kansas State, but I'm not convinced that they're that great of a team yet. I think they're a good defensive team, but I think that Oklahoma State can find ways to score. We saw what Oklahoma State did moving the ball against Texas. I think that the red zone issues will be addressed and handled much better this week when they get those opportunities, and I think that they're going to find ways to put up some points and make Kansas State one dimensional on offense, and I think they could make this close to a 3-touchdown victory for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Any thoughts from you on this one, Jacob?
I picked it close. I did 38-32.
Yeah.
You, for the record, did 48-24.
Yeah, that's about
you
what
were by far on the staff the one with the widest margin.
With the least confidence in Kansas State.
Victory, yeah. Yes. I want to see OSU fix their problems they had last week.
Yeah.
Against another good defense. That was maybe my hesitancy a little bit, and the Kansas State's had so much success in Stillwater.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm with you. I think Oklahoma State should win this game. I don't know that Kansas State has proven they can slow down an offense like Oklahoma State's. I'm with you on that. I mean, how are you going to defend Wallace and Hubbard and Sanders all at the same time? And I know Texas survived. I'm not going to say Texas defense. I don't know, dominated at times.
Right, no.
Oklahoma State moved the ball pretty well.
The Texas defense was a classic example of bend but don't break.
Yes.
And they bowed up when they had to and made the stops to force field goals or force OSU to go for it. And that was the difference in the game. But between the tens, really, Oklahoma State did just about whatever it wanted. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think Tylan's going to have a big game.
I could see that.
I think he's in line for a big week. And so that's kind of why I lean towards Oklahoma State.
Yep. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. Again, we want an emailed question for the mailbag next week. SWright@Oklahoman.com. JUnruh@Oklahoman.com. I want one emailed question for next week's mailbag. But that'll do it for this week. This has been the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com.